Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Buongiorno. Hey, before we get into the official episode, I have a little preface for you. When this episode was recorded by me and Jennifer Grace Luttrell, me and Jennifer were not aware that there were actually two dueling Van Gogh exhibits here in New York City. And I think me and Jen aren't the only people that are confused by this, especially because they have extremely similar names. One of them is called Van Gogh, The Immersive Experience, and that's put on by Exhibition Hub. The other one is called the Immersive Van Gogh Exhibit. So as you see, very similar names. The one that we talk about in this episode, the one that me and Jennifer Grace went to, is Van Gogh, the Immersive Experience. We did not go to Immersive Van Gogh Exhibit. Some of the differences between the two, the one that we went to, Van Gogh, the Immersive Experience, has a virtual reality aspect to it. The other one, Immersive Van Gogh Exhibit, that one has more of a walkthrough projected thing. It's similar. Both are very, very similar and use similar technologies. Van Gogh, the Immersive Experience, is actually a little older. It began in 2017 in Europe and has been around the UK, Italy, Belgium, China. The other one, Immersive Van Gogh Exhibit, that started in 2020 and has been to Toronto and Chicago. So what you might hear in this episode is me and Jen talking about what we thought we were going to see and what we saw people posting online and some confusion with that. And what we now realize is we were thinking of one instead of the other. People are also online making the same mistakes and confusing the hashtags and stuff like that. So this is me and Jennifer Grace Luttrell talking about Van Gogh, the Immersive Experience. Thanks. Enjoy the episode. Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Buongiorno. I'm joined today once again by the effervescent Jennifer Grace Luttrell.
Hi.
Jennifer, you are my starry night.
Thanks.
So today, me and Jennifer went to the Van Gogh Immersive Experience, which you probably heard all about on the interwebs. It's in New York now, which is where we live, but it's been all over, right? It's been in...
Yeah, I think I watched a video before, and I think that one was in England somewhere.
Yeah, I think it started in the UK, and This might be the first place it's in America. I'm not sure.
I don't know either.
I've done very little research for this episode.
I mean, that feels right, I guess. New York, sure. That's a good place to start.
Sure. It's right in, like, well, if you're not living in New York, nothing I'm about to say is going to make any sense. But for those who are living in New York, it's right, like, when you enter from Brooklyn. It's, like, right at, like...
It's not far from the seaport if you're driving.
Yeah, right. The actual building it's in is right on the water.
Right.
It was really lovely. There's, like, a nice breeze and stuff.
Yeah. It was really beautiful over there. And it was such a great day to just be outside.
Yes, it was a lovely day. It I think the building that it's in is like some fancy schmancy business building.
Yeah, I was trying to look at the ceiling.
Is that what they call them, business buildings?
An office building.
Sure, yeah.
I was trying to look at the ceiling because it wasn't in a full room. It was kind of just... like a box.
Yeah.
It was walls that were built just for the projections.
Right.
It
was also like 4 or 5 stories up.
Right.
Right.
I would say it's some kind of banquet hall or...
Where we were or the whole building?
At least part of that floor. Yeah, where we were.
Yeah, definitely where we were. But I think the rest... All the rest of it was offices. Yeah.
But I'm saying that part of it. Because the ceiling looked like pretty fancy, and they were able to hook up projections to the ceiling, so it has to be meant for something.
Yeah, like that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we took the elevator, which ended up being more of a fucking deal than we thought it was gonna be.
I know.
Because first of all, they're like, they let us in, and they're like, okay, it's up there. And then we walk up one flight, and then we walk up another flight, and it's like Ghostbusters. It's like,
yeah,
this is like a million flights up.
And my lungs don't work.
Right. So we were like, okay, we need a fucking
elevator. And then the dude who let us in is like, oh, you got to go around the rest of the building. So we go around. We see some girl working there with a Van Gogh shirt.
Who looks terrified and 12.
Yeah, she's a child. And we're like, hey, we're looking for an elevator. And she's like, yes, I will escort you. And she escorts us in the elevator. And we feel it's very special. And I was like, I guess a lot of people don't take the elevator. And she's like, oh, no, it happens all day long. Did it feel to you, did you get a vibe that, like, this wasn't entirely perfectly planned out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of it was like, I feel like we missed some of it because, mm-hmm. I guess we just want to start with us entering since we're there.
I want to first point out when I tried to mansplain to the elevator girl, and I was like, I think you're, because they all have like Van Gogh shirts and Van Gogh masks, and hers were like little lilies. So I was like, I think your mask is Monet, not Van Gogh. And she was like, no, it's Van Gogh. Van Gogh is very influenced by Japanese art. And I was like, okay. Like, I'm definitely wrong because I said a fact that is wrong and she corrected me. That's mm-hmm. how life's supposed to work. But I didn't come out of the gate that hard because I totally wasn't sure that I was right. I was like, is that Monet? And she was like, no.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
Because she probably has people saying stuff to her all day long.
Yeah. She could have just pointed to the elevator. She didn't have to. No, she did because
she did.
We had to. She had to go up, and then there was a door that we couldn't go through. And she was like, she got on her little walkie, and she was like, elevator to floater, floater. I need you.
Yeah.
And we were like, what is this? Is this like a fucking bank vault? What is this? So floater finally came and let us in the door.
Yeah. Well, I mean, some other guy came in and let us through the door, and she wasn't even sure if she could go through the door.
Right.
And
right.
He was holding it for us. She's like, okay.
She was trying so hard to be like professional, but she was 12.
That was her first time ever in a building.
Yeah, it was the first time ever
in New York.
yeah. So we go in, and what's awkward then is that the elevator lets you out
near the exit.
Yeah, so you've got to walk through the first part of the exhibit. Which we'll go over the different parts, but you got to go through the first part exhibit, like through people trying to enjoy themselves, watch things, to go to the entrance and get your ticket taken. And we were VIP.
Oh, right. I forgot we had to get our ticket. That's right. That's why we flew past that.
Right. We didn't spend a lot of time in that. We could have, but we didn't.
We could have, but also I feel like no one said anything about the setup.
Nobody was telling us what to do or where to go.
Right.
Like, at first we thought, oh, this is just like an interesting cue. Like, maybe the experience is like a show and there's only certain times and therefore you have to wait online.
Right. Because our time was 2. Right. And I was like, it's almost 2. We should probably just go in there.
Right. But we were wrong. Then no one was waiting around. Or there people were just looking. No, I don't think people were waiting.
It wasn't
a queue. It wasn't a line.
Right. And the immersive part wasn't like
it wasn't timed.
Performance per se. Yeah, it was continuous. So you came in when you came in and then you left when you looped around.
Yeah. So it was about 20 minutes and it looped. Like We came in right at the beginning of it though.
Right.
Right.
Well, I don't know what the beginning is, but I guess so.
Well, it's when like you're in a train station.
Well, that's meant to be the beginning.
Oh, that's true. I think it was because that's when we came in. But that's when we came in and when we left again. So maybe not. Right. Well, definitely the end of it is when you see like the gallery of all the images.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there is kind of
a narrative.
There's definitely an end. I don't know what the beginning would be because we came in and then we left. So like we didn't really. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's meant to keep people moving.
Yeah,
so that way you don't have to time things and you don't have to rush people in. And
yeah,
a bunch of people came late. Like their time was 1 and they were there at 2 because they went to the wrong place and they still let them in.
And I wanted to get in. We got there like a half hour early and the VIP tickets, which I paid out my ass for, it said one of the things you get besides a free poster and the virtual reality experience is you get to come either 2 hours before or 2 hours after. So we were, like, not worried about getting there by 2. But the guy was like, you got to wait here. And I was like, but don't I have VIP tickets?
I don't think everyone understood their assignments.
No, I don't think so either.
I mean, that's okay.
Yeah.
But we're not complete. I mean, we are.
We're just
it was a
you...
great experience.
Yeah.
But I feel like we started off complaining.
Yeah.
I don't want that to be the impression. It was a great experience.
Yeah. We're just giving you an image of what it was like.
Right.
So we got our tickets taken. Well, there's like, in that area, the entrance area, there are like actual sculptures on the wall of large sunflowers.
Yeah.
And a large, like, huge bust of Van Gogh.
Right.
With like things projected on his face.
Yeah, like his art.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah. And by the way, his name is Van Gogh, and I know it's Van Gogh, but I feel like an asshole whenever I say Van Gogh. I feel like the kind of person that says, you know, it's really Frankenstein's monster, not Frankenstein. So I'm going to say his name wrong because we all have accepted that his name is wrong, especially because all the advertisements for this show were like, Van Gogh to the experience.
Yeah, they know.
It's safe to Van Gogh. Don't be afraid of Van COVID. No, that really was one that said it's safe to Van Gogh.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. All right, so what? Let's talk about the first part before you go in. The third part that we thought was maybe a line.
Okay, so yeah, I wish we'd stayed there longer, but that's okay.
Yeah. That was more like traditional museum.
Right. So I mean, it's still kind of immersive, or it's different. So some of it is just, I guess, recreations of his art, like framed art.
Yeah.
And then some of it is kind of like 3D art where it's like the bedroom.
Yeah, the yellow bedroom.
Right. It had an actual bed and like actual things that
they were scaled.
The painting.
Like you could kind of step into it. I mean, you wouldn't be allowed to, but if you wanted to, you kind of could step into it, but it's not a real bedroom.
Right.
It was like scaled in a way, but it was 3D.
That. Yeah, that was cool.
And it was cool because it was constructed in the Van Gogh impressionist style of like broad strokes. Like it was all painted like as if it were his painting.
Right. Also, if anyone's gone to that, I feel like I've tried to avoid. I mean, I watched a video on it, but that was just because I'm me and I like to know what's coming. But then I also forget things. So I figured I'd watch it. If there's nothing scary, we're good. And then I'll forget it. And then I'll just experience it like it's new. But everyone in New York has gone, so I've just been scrolling, and every day I scroll and someone else has gone.
Yeah.
So if you know someone that's gone, you've probably seen them take a picture in front of it, because I feel like a lot of people have taken a picture in front of that specific artwork.
Our friend of the show, Kat, from the Deadpool episode, she was coming to New York just to go to it.
Wow.
She was taking a trip down here to do it. Yeah, and that was also in that first section. On like one side, you had like the thing, like the bedroom and like a little cafe, like kind of like the, let's call it 3D sculptured. It was cool. It's interesting because it's all called immersive, but it's like different versions of immersive.
Right. I just like the idea of the way they did it.
Yeah, it's very cool looking.
Yeah.
But then on the other side, it looked more like traditional. Like you had text and you had like paintings, recreation paintings on the wall. Mm-hmm. You had a timeline. So you could sort of know his life.
I didn't even notice the timeline. We just kind of, we zoomed past it twice.
Yeah,
we zoomed past it with the girl, and then we zoomed past it because we thought we had to be somewhere at a certain time.
Right. But it was cool. But it was weird because it was like, it was one of those situations where you look at other people like, is this a line? Are you in a line? Some people did seem like they were just waiting there.
Right.
Maybe they were like 3 o'clock people and it was like an hour early. So like you could sit in here, but you can't go in. Although I didn't see anybody stopping you from going in.
I didn't see anyone. Nobody was stopped.
Yeah.
You were only stopped before you actually entered the building. Once you were in the building, you could do whatever you want.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know a little bit about Van Gogh's life. I've never read a book on Van Gogh.
I know what I've seen in Doctor Who.
Yes, there's a classic Doctor Who episode, which is a lot of people's favorite episode. And that's also the episode where Bill Nighy plays the museum
like
docent. And he's Bill Nighy, Christmas all around us. Remember in Love Actually where he's like, ooh, I haven't had this much fun since I fucked Britney Spears or whatever. And then, like,
did he say
always
that?
Always like, this is, I haven't had this much fun since I fucked Britney Spears. And they're like, was it really good? And he's like, nah, I'm kidding, it was rubbish. Do you remember that?
No.
Do you remember Love Actually, anyone? Anyway, just put parse your lips together and then you're doing a Bill Nighy impression. I know him mostly from in grad school I took a class on Vincent Minnelli, the films of Vincent Minnelli, Liza's dad. And he did a movie in 1956 called Lust for Life, which is a biography of Van Gogh, where Kirk Douglas plays Van Gogh. And it's actually a very cool movie. I don't know, I can't speak to its accuracy, but Kirk Douglas is like really great in it as like this manic energy. And Minnelli was very known for being like very theatrical to the point of surreal. So like he really makes all the sets and everything look like the sort of colors of Van Gogh. It's a really interesting movie, Lust for Life.
Is that one you didn't fall asleep during?
I didn't. Wow. Jen is referring to the fact that every time I've seen the film Meet Me in St. Louis, directed by Vincent Minnelli, I fall asleep.
It's my favorite Judy Garland movie.
Really? It's, more than Wizard of Oz?
Okay, so I have tears. My favorite movie is Wizard of Oz. That's untouchable. That's in its own category all by itself. Right. My favorite Judy Garland movie is Meet Me in St. Louis.
But you know Judy Garland's in Wizard of Oz?
I know, but I said that's a different tier. That's its own thing.
Okay.
That is separate.
Okay. So you think she's better in Meet Me in St. Louis? Clang, clang, clang.
I love... When I want to watch a Judy Garland movie that's not The Wizard of Oz, that's the movie I gravitate towards. That and The Harvey Girls.
I've never seen Harvey Girls.
Young Angela Lansbury.
We did see on the big screen at the St. George Theater in Staten Island, her Star is Born.
Yeah, it's a good one too.
Where her and James Mason.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. She's good in that. I like her.
Mm.
What the hell were we talking about? Oh, yeah. Meet Me in St. Louis is just like, it's four seasons long. And there's not much story, or there's a lot of story, but there's just not, I don't know.
Do you even care about Liza? Because there would be no Liza without Mimi in St. Louis.
Yeah, I guess. I like the clang clang song. Sing a little bit, Jen.
Not a lot.
Clang clang clang, ooh, trolley. And then, of course, everyone loves Have Yourself a Merry
Little
Christmas. Very sad.
That they never play on the radio.
Right. Well,
upsetting.
Does that version, the one from that movie, that's where the song comes from, but doesn't that version have slightly different lyrics than other people's versions?
Because it's meant for the story, and then they change it a little.
It's a sad song. You don't realize.
It's very sad.
In the context of the movie, it's a very sad song.
Right. Also, Gigi, another good Vincent Minnelli movie.
All right. So, anyway, Lust for Life is Vincent Minnelli's best film. And that's all I know. Oh, the thing I think a lot of people know about him, right? Is they know Starry Night, right? Because you could get it on like your credit card. Like you could get it like, it's like, it's such a reproduced image.
Yeah.
Like maybe like second to what? Mona Lisa or, you know what I mean? Like it's...
And that episode of Boy Meets World.
What? No one's familiar with that. Can you tell us what that is? There's a Van Gogh episode?
Yeah. Where they talk about Starry Night when Topanga and Corey are going through a really rough patch and she meets this guy at a gallery and he like... has such a love for this painting and such a passion for it. And then she brings Corey because she wants to see what he thinks and if he has that same passion. And he doesn't.
It's Starry Night?
Yeah, it's Starry Night.
Is it MoMA? Because that's where it really is.
No, they live in Philadelphia, I think. So, no.
Starry Night's my favorite work of art, which makes me a basic bitch.
Mm-hmm.
But Starry Night is here in New York at the Museum of Modern Art. We saw it recently.
Well, kind of.
Well, I saw it recently.
I know. I was afraid to go into the COVID pit.
Well, yeah, because it's like at MoMA, there's basically like two big stars, right, in their collection. There's a huge Jackson Pollock that people crowd around. And there's Starry Night, which isn't very big as a canvas. So people get up close to crowd around it. And you didn't want to get that close.
It was not about the COVID pit.
And the other big star, I think, would be... Warhol's Campbell Soup Cans.
Yeah, that had another crowd around it, but that one's bigger. So
yeah, that's like a whole wall.
Yeah.
I just read this book that we actually picked up from the MoMA bookstore called Pop Art. We both liked it. We both were drawn to it because it had a cool image of Mickey on the cover.
Yeah.
And we were like, we like Mickey. Yeah. Check out our Disney World episodes. But I just read it, and apparently that was like originally like kind of a failure. And he was trying, Warhol was trying to sell each can as its own work, and nobody gave a shit. So then somebody, maybe it was MoMA or a collector, bought all of them. Like, it was like, oh, I'll just buy all of them. And that's when that person did the way that they always show it now, which is like it looks like a shelf in a supermarket where it's like a bunch of.
I didn't know that they were separate.
Yeah, they were supposed to. He wanted to sell them one at a time. They have more of a power together. So
right.
Anyway, Van Gogh. Yes. All right. So I was saying the two things people know of Van Gogh: Starry Night, and then he cut his ear off. Yes. He cut his ear off towards the end of his life in a manic episode. Like, the thing that draws me to him as somebody who has mental health issues.
Yeah.
Is he was so like sad. He was. Yeah. He had depression. He had alcoholism to deal with his depression. Yeah. And most of all, people now think he was schizophrenic.
Mm-hmm.
Even like the way that he like saw things, the way he drew, like his very particular point of view. Some people go like, that's schizophrenia. Like, he's seeing the world in a different way.
Right.
Which is why that Doctor Who episode's cool, because there's an alien that only Van Gogh can see. And yeah. He's invisible to everybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that episode's great.
That is one of the best Matt Smith episodes.
Yeah,
that's one of the best historical cameo episodes. Like, that's like a little subgenre of Doctor Who episodes. Like, you've got the Shakespeare one, and that one, and Churchill one in the Matt Smith days.
There's a Rosa Parks one, and then
That's actually a really good one. That might be the best Jodie Whittaker.
Yeah.
Episode. Anyway, so. So the first room is basically very basic, but that's just like the entree. Then you go into the big room.
Yeah.
And what's that like?
So you walk in and you go in through like a curtain, and all four walls have projections all around.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just like walking in, and it's all either moving a little or moving a lot, I guess, depending on the art that they're showing. And there's also projectors on the ceiling, so the floor is also included in the art, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And there's rugs everywhere, which I guess is like guide people to sit. So
did you think that the rugs or the rug, it was like a kind of, you couldn't really tell the color with all the projection, but it seems kind of like grayish, tannish. And did you get the feeling that it was supposed to like emulate a beach? Because there were towels down and like picnic things down and like lawn chairs.
Yeah, there were definitely lawn chairs.
Yeah, they were like lawn. Like, didn't it feel?
Yeah.
I could just be totally reading something that isn't there. See, I wish they had put real sand. One of my critiques is they call it immersive, right? Now, I'm a Disney fan. There's a moment of rain. Sprinkle some rain on me.
Mm-hmm.
You're showing me the outside. Pump in the smell of something. I want to smell France.
Smells are probably a lot easier.
Yeah.
But with a rented space, I could see why they didn't do water.
Yeah, I guess. Especially because it's going right on a carpet.
Right.
But
scent. They could definitely do scent.
At one point, I thought that there was scent, but then it was just an overly fragrant woman.
Right. Yeah.
But it was... It's this is an interesting thing here, because I absolutely loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really vibed out. Like, at a couple moments, I closed my eyes and said my meditation mantra, which I'm not afraid to share with you. It's I treat myself with love and respect. And part of that love is just acceptance. Whereas if I'm going to critique it, I can find more things wrong with it.
Right.
That would lead you to think that I didn't like it, but I did like it a lot.
Right. It was beautiful.
It was. I was expecting, I guess from all the images I saw, I was expecting multiple rooms, and each room was a different work of art made into a sort of 3D four-wall experience. That's not what it is.
I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting
exactly what we got,
but there was you go in at your time, and there's a beginning and an end.
Okay.
I don't know why.
I was not expecting that. I mean, I wasn't unhappy with it. It did, for a while, I did think, oh, maybe there is another room. Because how long is the show, if you want to call it a show? It's like 20 minutes, right? maybe 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And it cycles through, what, 6 or 7 or 8 different themes?
Right.
Which I think are supposed to be different eras in his life,
I'm sure. Yeah.
Because it ends in a very dramatic way, which I think is he died of suicide.
Right.
Yeah, as we were in there, as it was going on longer, I was like, oh, this is the only room.
Yeah.
Because when we first went in, it was like a train station. There was smoke everywhere. And I guess it's him traveling somewhere. Right. And I was like, oh, this is how we would begin. But then, you know, it kept going. And we found lawn chairs. Yours was way back. So you were not comfortable. And then I tried to fix it and I almost killed you and made a scene.
Yep.
You like fell backwards. It was ridiculous.
All right.
There weren't a lot of seats, right? I guess because of COVID restrictions.
Well, I think that's what the blankets and stuff were for. There were seats, and then there was like blankets and rugs on the floor, like meant to like lead you to spaced out seating, so you weren't just sitting wherever you wanted.
I think that's the reason for the timing. I think just so it didn't congest the area.
Right. Yeah. No, I get that. I didn't know what to expect, so I just thought.
Right.
But,
I think I expected a little more from that part.
Right.
But it was beautiful and, you know, it goes into, you know, the different themes, let's call them, right? Like, it'll be like one of his paintings, but on all four walls, and they'll make an element in it. Like, if there's a boat in it, they'll make the boat move.
Right.
Or, you know, with Starry Night, like
the sunset.
Yeah.
Eventually, and you, towards the end.
Yeah. And you see the wind twirling in that Van Gogh-y way.
Yeah.
It was actually very chill. Like it was, I think, classical music with it. I don't know. There was one thing I recognized from other places. I don't know classical music. The rest, I don't know if it was all classical music and some modern scoring or what.
I mean, yeah, it all had that classical music sound to it.
Yeah. It was nice. It going into it, I was like, you know, how Disney-fied is this? How touristy is this? Is this going to deal with the pain of his life? And I felt like it did, actually.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't shy away from how tortured he is.
Right.
Now, does it romanticize it? Yes. I think that's a big part of... I think a big part of the whole, like, mythos of, like, the tortured artist comes from him.
Right. Also, while they're playing music, they're also, I guess, saying quotes.
What did you think of that?
I mean, I don't know enough. So,
just an experience.
Right. But I meant, like... Some of it I was like, are these quotes or are these just like inspiring things? And then some of it I was like, okay, I guess. I don't know. And well, there were quotes on the wall too.
When he was like, don't forget to go to the gift shop after your experience.
They didn't say that.
No, he didn't say that. No, there was written quotes on the wall, which you can tell are written. You can tell the quotes because of the way they're attributed to him.
Right.
But then there were just things being said and it's like, is that really him?
Yeah. I don't know. It seems like a lot of dialogue.
I know. And it was all random. Like, it never seemed to, ever, like, mean anything.
Right.
It would just be, like, random stuff.
Right.
And I couldn't get over how much the voice sounded like Jeremy Irons.
Yeah.
And I don't know what Van Gogh really sounded like, but did he sound like Jeremy Irons?
Not according to the Doctor Who episode.
No. Yeah. I mean... It wasn't Jeremy Irons, but it sounded like Jeremy Irons.
Yeah.
It sounded like a voiceover actor.
Right.
And they were like, you're playing Van Gogh. And they're like, ooh, important. Let me sound important.
Let me sound tortured artist.
Yeah. Everything I say is profound. I did like the quotes on the wall, though. I mean, I wasn't familiar with those. Like, one was like, if you truly love nature, you'll see art in everything.
Oh, that's a nature?
Yeah.
I thought it's a culture. Some of the letters were like blurring by the time I looked at them. Because there's stuff all around and then they blur. They're only there for like a little bit.
Yeah.
And then they kind of blur away.
What's cool is it's not the exact same thing on all four walls.
Right.
But it's not a perfect circle. You can find one place on the wall and then look to the other side of the room and like... Somewhere you'll see it repeated.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It wasn't a nitpick I would have is the CGI of it wasn't great. You can see some clipping in the animation. You could see things that probably looked good on a computer screen, but blown up.
Right.
Didn't look great.
Yeah.
It overall was a cool effect.
Mm-hmm.
And I did like when they did shit on the floor, like,
yeah,
when they've got like the birds flying on the floor, or like when we're in like the wheat fields and you see like the wheat flying on the floor. That was cool.
Yeah.
Or when we were in the water, that was the point where like it was, I don't know the name of the painting, but it's like you're, it's like the water.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like, I guess in the water. So they were like projecting, like it looked like water over us.
Mm-hmm.
But because it was moving so fast, like it felt like we were moving, or I felt like I was moving.
Yeah.
And I've seen, I went into it in a bad mood today because I've been having money troubles. So I went in a sort of foul mood, and it really was so pleasant. And it, and I was just like, you know what? This is what fucking life is really about. It's about art and beauty. I treat myself with love and respect.
Yep.
Now, you're easily startled. Did any of it scare you?
No.
There's one moment towards the end where, like, I feel like they show, and he did like a lot of different self-portraits, but they show the one self-portrait of his, of after the ear thing, where he's all wrapped up. And like they play, they show it really fast, and then they play very dramatic music. I think they're trying to signal this is the end of his life.
Right.
And it's like, and
there's,
I was a little
bunch of portraits where it's like boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a cool thing they do where there's one part where you see like his image, and it's, they keep fading one self-portrait into another into another. So you're kind of like seeing him age through his own eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. That was cool. That what it was supposed to be, the ending was really cool. And then you see like all of his artwork up on like the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And that has some cool stuff happening to it. Some of, like, if there's water, the water will fall out of
it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there was one with his, I guess it wasn't canvas painting. It was like paper, because it, the paper kept falling away.
Yeah.
There is a
section where he says something about like, before I painted, I sketched. And like you're surrounded by sketches.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, that was really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it was all really cool. But yeah, the ending was,
It gets intense at the end.
Right.
Whereas like the moments that are the nicest are like the very serene moments of like, you're like in the fields and, you know.
Right. The ones where you're surrounded by like one general piece of art are very serene.
Right.
And then towards the ending, it's just,
it's like
a bunch of images.
This is a cool desktop on your computer.
Right. You know the ending when a bunch of images are just thrown at you.
It's like, oh, cool Windows 95 Van Gogh screensaver you got going on here.
Yep.
It was amazing, but I don't know if it was worth the price. No, I did pay the VIP, which was like 100 something each.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I'm the fool. But like, I don't know. Maybe I had my arms crossed of like, you got to be this much good.
Yeah.
You got to be $100 worth good. But it really, that was great.
Yeah.
It was very nice. It's very chill.
Mm-hmm.
I was excited to move on to the other things to see what else there was. Mm-hmm. So if not, I would have like stayed there longer and just like chilled out there, and it was very meditative.
Right. There were people lying down on the floor. Like,
yeah.
Super chill.
I had the instinct to lie down, but I was like, I don't want to catch rug disease.
Rug COVID.
Yeah.
Those chairs, I don't know. I mean, you're taller. I was having a lot of difficulty with those lawn chairs.
Well, Danny DeVito is taller than you. A lot of people don't know that, but I'll let them know.
And Jason Alexander.
Yeah. Tell everyone on the podcast what Jason Alexander said to you.
Oh, I saw him in Fish in the Dark, which was a Larry David play. And when he came out for like the little like meet and greet after the show, he was like, hey, little person, where were you when I was dating?
What a flex.
And I was like, I don't want to say not born yet. And I was like,
oh, come on.
I don't know. I think I just said thank you. Nice. Even though.
And then you fucked him.
No.
Which is what we're here to say.
Not what happened.
No. so what about you? I'm taller. Say something about the chairs.
Oh, okay. So I just, my legs were dangling. Well, first I was laying all the way back, and my legs were like higher than I was, and that felt weird. So then I asked you to fix my chair, and then, you know, you let me fall down.
Yeah.
And then we got it situated, but then my legs were still dangling. I don't know. I was in a skirt. It just.
Oh, talk about what you're wearing.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. So, I got a sunflower. It's a skirt, but, like, the kind of skirt with suspenders. I don't know if that makes a difference. Really, the point is that it has sunflowers on it.
Yeah.
And a skull in it. It was from Hot Topic.
So, we should have expected the skull.
I don't think it's a Van Gogh skirt.
No, it's not.
It's not.
But you saw the flowers first.
I saw the flowers first. Oh, right. Because it's Hot Topic. Yeah. And then I saw the skull, and I was like, I mean, I guess, but... And then when we went to the thing, there's that skull smoke, the skeleton smoking. And I was like, all right, maybe I am themed.
Right, right.
A little better than I thought it was.
Us uncultured fools didn't realize that it actually fit even better than we thought.
Right.
I've seen that image so many times, the skull smoking a cigarette.
Right.
I think it might be used... People are going to be upset. Maybe it's used... as like the cover for one of those like Penguin Classics editions of like some classic horror story or something. I might be totally off. But anyway, I'm familiar with that image, but I always forget that it's Van Gogh because it's so different from everything else Van Gogh.
Yeah.
It's surreal and funny and ironic. It's a skull with a cigarette in its mouth. Like it's nothing like anything else with Van Gogh. But you were highly themed. You really fit in well. You did get a compliment.
Yeah. I also got one this morning when I went to Starbucks. So that's fun.
Not Van Gogh related. They were just like, oh, nice dress.
Yeah. I was trying to look it up, see if I could find what you were saying about the book cover.
Oh, wait. Maybe. Is it the cover of a David Sedaris book? All right. Well, if you know, you're screaming at your phone. So sorry about that. So after that was done, we left and I was like, I didn't know what to expect. I was like, is it over? Is there another room? What's going to happen now?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like a room with like desks and crayons and stuff. And it's like,
yeah,
I don't get exactly what it was. I think you would color in. They had like Van Gogh paintings uncolored. You would like color it in. And then I think you would like put it under something and it would take a picture and project it somewhere.
I couldn't see where like the blank or the, like the coloring page was.
Right.
I just saw the crayons and people doing it. But also that wasn't like COVID friendly. Like all the seats were too close together.
I didn't see a lot of children either. It felt like it was a lot of adults doing that.
Yeah, I didn't see a lot of children in there.
Yeah, in general.
There was one baby.
Well, it was, we should say we went early Friday afternoon.
Oh, right.
We took off work. It was like 2:00 on a Friday.
I keep forgetting.
Yeah. Today's got a real Saturday feel.
Yeah.
You picked up they had like Van Gogh crayons and you were like, can we take these? And I was like, well, watch me fucking take it right now.
It looks like you could, but also it felt wrong. But also there were crayons on the tables where people were coloring.
Right. It felt wrong because it was like in an area that didn't look like, here, take this.
Right.
But on the box that it came in said Van Gogh. And then when you took out the crayons, it said Van Gogh on every crayon.
Right.
So I was like, fuck it, we're taking this.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever.
And then we get to the best part that Jen didn't even do.
Okay. First of all.
Yeah.
My hand is swollen.
Yes.
Okay, well, whatever. So we get to the VR thingy. And
real immersion.
Right. Well, still no smell, but
yeah, true.
Still no smell or spritz. But I'm also wearing glasses.
Yeah, they should have thought about what to do with glasses.
I don't know how the girl got it on me the first time and it felt tight and heavy. And I was like, I don't love this. And I'm trapped in and COVID. They make you put this like kind of eye mask.
It was like COVID eye mask.
It was like a mask.
But for your eyes.
For your eyes. It went around your ears. It was super tight over my glasses.
You look like COVID Robin from Batman and Robin.
I didn't love it from the beginning.
Yeah.
And then I was like, is yours on? Because I just see black and hear things.
Meanwhile, I'm in the middle of Arles, France, and I'm like, whoa. And I just hear Jen's voice somewhere in the distance.
And then you're like, I can't hear you.
I'm probably screaming at the top of my lungs.
Yeah, you are. So then I struggled to take it off, and I was like, it's freaking me out anyway. And then I took it off, and there was like a smudge on my glasses, and I was, no, I'm good. I'm done. Yeah. There's somebody put something smudgy directly in there.
It's boogies.
Even though they had the COVID Robin mask.
The boogie mask.
I don't understand.
Yeah. It I think you only VIP is allowed to do it because it said like a thing like VIP included or whatever.
VIPs can have eye boogies.
Yeah. So we, it's weird. It's like a dark room and like it would work to stand up, but you didn't stand up.
Yeah. You sat like a
swivel chair.
Yeah. A swivel chair.
So you could swivel like you would. It was really great. I mean, it's not the best VR I've done, but. Like, you know, it was perfect. Like, I could look to the left, look to the right, look up, look down. The thing is, inside of it, it moved you. It's almost like you're in, like, on a ride, like you're in, like, a yeah. dune buggy, like in a haunted mansion. So you're moving, which actually was awesome, but also made me feel a little sick.
Yeah. I saw you put your hand on the wall.
Yeah, the woman said, like, if you feel weird, just put your hand on the wall and know that you're still here.
Yeah.
It's funny, though. VR makes you realize just how simple we are, because you think like, oh, I'm not going to be fooled by it. But once your whole field of vision
yep.
is taken up by something else, you're like, yeah, this is real. This is what life is.
This is it.
Well, so we should talk about you're notoriously a scared of things.
Oh, come on.
You're a scaredy baby. And I don't know where you saw it, but Jen saw this video promoting this and there was like wasps.
I looked it up on YouTube. I looked up the Van Gogh experience,
yeah.
immersive experience.
So, like, she thought there was going to be wasps coming out of, or bees coming out of sunflowers. Maybe there was in some version of it.
And then it was too scary. All the lights were off and you just hear buzzing.
See, we didn't get
that. That's terrifying.
I believe you. I believe that they probably changed it. But at that point, we hadn't seen anything like that in the first room. So when we're putting on the helmets, I'm like, oh, this is probably where that is. And I shouldn't have said that to you right before, because I could tell you were like, oh, no, I don't want to do this now.
Yeah.
But it was awesome. You're in Arles and they do this thing where like they kind of make it like every one of his paintings is like really just like the little like bit around his life. Like mm-hmm. you begin in the bedroom and you can look up, you can look down left and right, and then it moves you. But every time you look, you can look back and see like where you just were, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. And like you're moving through the landscape and it all looks, it reminded me of the movie What Dreams May Come mm-hmm. with Robin Williams. Like
yeah.
it's got that impressionist look.
Mm-hmm.
And in the landscape, you'll see like floating frames mm-hmm. and you'll go by it and then you'll see like in the frame, the image, and then it becomes his painting.
Yeah.
So it's like, this is where the painting came from. It ends with it doesn't end with Starry Night. It gets to a point where there's Starry Night, but it's just like on a hill. And I've read that Starry Night, that was the view from his room in the mental hospital he was in. So it was wrong. Although I don't think anyone was claiming that the VR experience was accurate. That yeah. everything he painted was in like a 5-minute walk of where he lived.
Yep.
But the part that really did freak me out was you kind of go around, you go through, you see a cafe, blah, blah, blah. And then like you see a painting and then you kind of like fly into it. And that was the part where I was like, woo.
Yeah.
And then like you're like in like stars and stuff. And,
yeah.
and then it's basically over. But it was really cool. To me, I was like, this is where the money is. It was. I really liked it. And then I tried to get you to do it again and you didn't want to.
And then there was a bigger smudge on my glass. I don't know.
So. Not as good as the Ghostbusters VR experience at Madame Tussauds a couple years ago.
Uh-huh.
But that was great because it wasn't just VR. It was also like you walked through it. So like there was an actual set
yeah.
that corresponded to what you saw in VR.
Right.
So like there was a part where like there's an open, like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man is outside and like breaks open a window or breaks uh-huh. open like part of the building. And like part of the building is like one wall is gone. And they've got fans in there, so you're feeling the air. And that was like a video game. That was pretty fun. But this was also pretty awesome. And kind of what I wanted more out of the whole thing. Like, it felt like this is immersive. Like, I wish it had all been the VR thing or something like that. I don't know.
Right.
And that's basically it. After that is a gift shop, which
had $70 yoga mat.
$70 yoga mat. I'm you know from this podcast that I'm a coffee mug collector.
Mm-hmm.
They had a nice Van Gogh coffee mug. $28. This is like Disney World prices. It was insane. But because we were VIP, we got a free poster.
Right.
And you got to pick between five different ones.
Yeah.
So I got the Skellington one because I'm a spooky bitch. Uh-huh. And what did you get?
I got the cafe one.
Oh, the cafe one. My brother Anthony has that, a print of that in his house, which I think I gave him as a housewarming gift. There's also the psychiatrist that I see has one in her waiting room. And I always think, is this here because it's pretty? Or does she understand the deeper implications of having this Van Gogh in a waiting room of a psychiatrist?
Probably.
Matches the wallpaper's orange, so it also matches.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I thought it would go best with my house.
Yeah. I thought that the Skellington one would go best with all my Halloween decorations. Yep. That seem to be up all year round. I kind of wish that it was cheaper.
Yeah.
And therefore more accessible. Especially like maybe not the VR part, but the first part where you're just in the room. That's right. Such a cool, chill thing. It would be nice to see kids in there and like,
yeah.
I don't know. I felt like
it would be a nice like lunch break.
Yeah.
Experience.
Yeah.
To just go and chill. If it was like $20.
Yeah.
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 And there's so many offices around there.
Yeah, right. They're selling this thing hard and they're selling it like, you know, big deal.
They're getting tourists.
Yeah, that's probably.
People who are willing to spend money on New York are going to spend money on that.
That's true. That's true. But also everyone I know in New York is going. Because you're right. Like, I can't not go.
Right, because it's here. It's hard to not do things like that.
Yeah.
When it's like.
Well, it's here.
Right in your backyard.
Right.
But yeah. But I mean, I think ideally they're counting on people who can afford to come here and therefore can afford to be overcharged.
On a scale from real art museum to Disney World attraction, where'd you put this Van Gogh immersive experience?
I mean, it's a New York attraction.
Okay.
It's not going to have the Disney touch.
Right.
I think.
Well, see, when I say Disney, I think of like polishing it up.
No, I know. That's what I mean, too. Okay. Like, it's not going to have that level of attention.
No, it definitely doesn't.
But if you've never been to Disney, I mean, it's an amazing experience. It's an amazing experience no matter what.
Yeah.
But yeah, it tries its best. It does well.
I would say on that scale of art museum to Disney World attraction, it's in the middle, leaning towards Disney World attraction.
Right.
Although from a marketing point of view, it's trying, I think, to have like importance to it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get in there, there's none of the quiet of a museum. There's none of the thoughtfulness. Like, I don't think it's trying to make you think really about anything or
no,
I think
if you don't know anything about Van Gogh,
right, and you don't need to,
this is just
right, it's just go in, experience this thing, isn't it cool, take your Instagram pictures. That's another thing, which is I talked a few episodes ago about I got into this YouTube channel, The Art Assignment, and there's it's all these videos about art history. Mm-hmm. And there's a really cool video on there called, like, it's something like The Effect of Instagram on Art.
Mm-hmm.
And how, like, more and more you get things like the Museum of Ice Cream and things that are pop-ups or museums, but really what they're meant to be is places for you to go and take photographs.
Like the Disney thing that we did for my birthday.
Right, the Mickey True Original. Ago. Yeah.
That's 100% for the gram. Yeah.
And I'm not against it, but I feel like that was a big part of.
Yeah. There's even, I mean, yes, the Museum of Ice Cream and, like, yes, the, what's that wine one? Rosé Mansion.
Oh, I've never been to that
one. Are, like, huge for Instagram, but they also, like, have, like, a wine element and an ice cream element.
Right.
But then I forget the name of the one that I showed you where that's the whole thing is posing.
Right.
There's no, like.
Right. I don't remember.
They're not even trying with a gimmick. It's just. Right. For the, it's just pretty things that you take pictures
in front of. Right.
At least like the Museum of Ice Cream is like.
Right. Which I'm not knocking this, by the way. No. I think it's cool. I like the idea of immersiveness. I like the idea of living art. I like the idea of not having this arm's distance between you and the work of art. But I do think you're not meant to contemplate Van Gogh, right? You're meant to go in, see cool things, take a few pictures and then go right out. And enjoy the rest of your day in New York City.
Right. Oh, it's called Happy Go Lucky. in Soho, and it's just like,
oh, okay,
you know,
it's just various spaces and walls for right. you to take images in.
I mean, it's beautiful. I'm
remember
for
when
it.
we went to the Museum of Ice Cream
for my birthday,
for your birthday a few yeah. years ago, which well, 2 years ago, right? Back when, because it was pre-COVID.
Right. It was right before.
Well, COVID was happening other places in the world, but here in New York, we weren't locked down.
We weren't locked down, but we were irresponsible.
Yeah.
Which, well, I guess everyone else was too.
We were still in the, oh, that's, what's going on? Oh, that won't really affect right. us. Oh, it's here. It's like the flu.
Right.
Yeah, that was a really cool experience. I would say do it. Although, if you get annoyed by being stopped up by Insta models.
Oh, yeah.
Like everyone's taking pictures, but then, like, you'll see, like, the very attractive boy or girl who's, like, got real production going on, and they're, like, super made up, and they're, like, this is how they make their money.
Right.
And you're kind of like, all right, well, can I move, please?
I just want to try my next ice cream, thanks.
I just want to jump in a big pit of sprinkles.
Right.
Which I didn't do. It grossed me out, even pre-COVID. I was like, oh, I'm not going
in that. Yeah, I didn't do it either.
It's like a ball pit from, like, McDonald's Play Place. But it's giant, like, sprinkles. But they're not really food. They're, like, right. I guess, plastic.
They're like, rubbery, I think. But, and there's also, like, children everywhere. And their boogers are everywhere.
Children. Children are just 100% boogers.
They're always sticky. Even if they don't have anything sticky, their fingers are always sticky somehow.
Speaking of children, I was thinking that if I were a little kid in this, I'd be crying. Like, in the first room where, like, you got the four walls, I think I'd be flipping. I think I'd be freaking out. I remember Great Adventure used to have something like that, and I remember not liking it.
Yeah. I mean,
you don't think you'd be freaked out by that as a child?
No, I would. I think the end I would 100% be freaked out about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think in the beginning it's like,
it's nice.
Yeah, it's nice and chill. What did Great Adventure have?
It was like, maybe it was like an early IMAX thing. I feel like you were standing... and it was kind of domed, and like it looked like you were flying or something. I kind of like remember it looking like kind of like Soarin' does in Disney, but it was you weren't there was no ride element. You were like standing.
Are you sure that wasn't Liberty Science Center?
Could be. This is, I'm like a baby in this memory, so I have no idea.
Liberty Science Center
could have been a dream.
Was my first IMAX experience, and I thought that's what all IMAX was. Because it is a dome.
Right,
full dome and you're in it. Maybe so any image that you see, you feel like you're moving.
I
remember loving it. And then I went we got our first IMAX in New York. Mm-hmm. And me and my friend went to see like Harry Potter in it. And I was like, this is an IMAX.
This is just a big movie screen.
Where's the fucking dome? Why is it only halfway circle?
I want to fly around with Harry.
Right. I was so disappointed.
Yeah.
But yeah. I just thought that's what IMAX meant.
Yeah. I don't know. You might be right. It's so far
Liberty Science Center.
Probably. But anyway, our nitpicking aside, I thought it was super fun. It was super chill. Yeah. I just wish it were cheaper. I really do. It should be much cheaper. Like,
yeah.
I know we stupidly paid $100 for the VIP tickets, but I don't think the regular tickets are that much cheaper anyway.
Probably not.
It should be like...
They're probably like 80.
Yeah, it should be cheaper. It should be cheaper, I think. But, you know, there was still... It wasn't packed in an uncomfortable way, but it was, you know, middle of a work day on a Friday. There was plenty of people.
Yeah.
I mean, so they're probably making a ton of money.
Right. I'm sure. And it's also the summer, so, like...
Yeah, that's true.
There was, like, a fair amount of, like, college-age people and, like, maybe, like, high school people.
Well, speaking of college age, the old addict in me was, like, kept thinking, like, what if I were high right now? Would this be better or worse? I think it would be better for like 10 minutes, and then it would be an absolute nightmare that I would be dying to get out of.
Yeah.
It'd be cool for a minute, and then I'd be like, oh, man, I gotta get out of here. One time I stupidly, someone got me free tickets to MoMA, and I went to MoMA alone and got high on the way, and I was like, I'm gonna walk through MoMA high. This was, you know, I haven't gotten high or drunk in 6 years, almost seven. But this was those days. And, like, if you're a pothead and you smoke a lot, it wears off pretty damn fast. And, like, I smoked before I went. And then, like, I think I took the bus. I, like, got off. I was, like, in front of MoMA. And I was like, oh, I'm already tired. Like, I don't feel high at all anymore. It was the worst MoMA experience. I think I just looked at Starry Night and I was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I liked it. On a scale of 1 to 10 severed ears, how many severed ears would you give it?
I give it an 8.
Okay. I think an 8 is... I agree with that. 8.
Yeah.
So this is PCMC. We are a podcast about pop culture, ephemera, and all the fun things involving the nostalgic bullshit you like. Jennifer Grace Luttrell is here. Me and Jennifer Grace also do the Gilmore Girl episode. So look up on the feed of this podcast and you can find us. We do one per season. So yep. Us. And it's a fun if you listen from season one episode to season five episode.
They get angrier.
You see me getting more and more angry and it becoming a hate podcast for me. Whereas in the beginning, I'm like, yeah, I think Rory's great. And then by season five, I'm like, fucking Rory's a piece of garbage. And yeah, there's tons of fun stuff. Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, you tell me any other free podcast that does Cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue 1 week and then Van Gogh the next week. No one has range like us, Jen.
Nope.
Nobody. We end every episode by saying...
Van Gogh, bye-bye.